This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hello everyone, Shannon Garcia getting you ready for another specialized exit interview podcast for week 5. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I don't want to get my hopes up, but like we have gotten pretty much all of the recent exit interviews. We got both for week 5, just a Sunday and Monday episode this week. That's why you're already hearing this. I will be recapping with Mike Bloom in just a couple of hours. We are done for the week. So I spoke to Khan, which was really fun. And then about 16 minutes in, you will hear from Mel. Really good to get her insights because obviously we didn't get enough of it on the show. So hope you enjoyed this exit interview podcast and I will see you on the other side. Hi, Khan. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I am devastated. I feel like a lot of people are really upset. My dad came in last night. He's like, I'm not watching anymore. I'm out without Khan. I'm like, no, you will keep watching. But people are really, really upset about you going home last night.
Well, it's really sweet. It's really, really nice, isn't it? It made me feel really loved.
I'm glad because you deserve it. But I have so much to ask you. I know that we're going to hope to have a longer chat after the season. But I wanted to ask, you know, you're a big fan. You come from MasterChef. You're a well-known person. What was it like hitting the Outback with that reputation, you know, being a well-known person and really changing genres, in between your reality TV stints?
I was really nervous coming into it, not just for myself, but for Amy, because I felt like there was a target on Amy's back as well. But at the same time, I know that you can't go into Survivor with preconceived any ideas of anything because that's how you shoot yourself in the foot. So for me, I was like, yeah, cool. I'm known, but in this game, I'm going to be totally different, which is I'm myself, and hopefully I can get by because I know that I make friends quite easily. I like to learn about people. I like to meet people. And usually that does really well at the beginning for Survivor because, like, you're trying to make friends at that stage. You're trying to figure out who you want to work with.
Yeah, who were those early, really positive relationships on water that you felt were, like, prime connections?
Chrissy, for me, I think it was after the Brianna vote, we just stuck together. Chrissy and I, we were talking earlier on anyway, but once the Brianna thing happened and she got sent home, Chrissy and I just became super close. I really trusted her. She really trusted me going to most of the votes. Nina is such a vibe. Nina is an absolute doll. Like she's coming, she's staying with me in a month or so. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with her. She's absolutely great. I got along with Joy really well as well. That whole Larrikin vibe was something that really kind of pulled me in.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Mark? Because you're shown as wanting to work with Mark. Obviously, that's going to end up being your downfall. He was like set on you from so early on. Can you tell me why? Like, what? Can we get some explanation to this?
I think Mark saw me as a target from early on because of that conversation I had with him where I was like, hey, I want to work with you, but let's not make it super obvious. And I think once the swap happened, he became closer to the other boys. So that kind of cut me out. And I think that's where we start to see them targeting me like even more. I think it's that whole group of 5 guys together that were on Red 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
I think my vote off yesterday wasn't decided yesterday. It was decided earlier on during the swap that I was probably going to be the next to go once we got to merge. I think it really cemented for them that there was something weird happening when I gave my necklace to Sam. They were like, how is he not getting voted out at that point? So I think that was really a nail in my coffin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It was a big move. You also seem to be really instrumental in the Brianna vote, really leading that. Like, can you tell us about your role through that vote?
So I know that it looked like I led that vote, but it was very much a tribe decision, as you could see by the votes that ended up coming out in the end. So what had happened earlier that day was I was totally happy to work with Brianna, but in the water with Sam and I, no, with Shay and I, she basically asked me if I was Team Brianna or Team Chrissy. And this was right, like it was so early that I could, that kind of was what cemented for me that I couldn't work with her because she was ready to draw that line so fast. And then once the fishing tackle box happened, it was like, nah, you've got to go. Like the whole tribe has seen it. There's no saving her at that point. So it just had to happen.
Yeah, and we obviously don't get to see what would have happened at the tribal council where Alex has to leave. But what did you think was happening? Were you going to play your idol? Like, what have you heard about that night? Because I'm still trying to piece it together myself.
I wasn't going home. Yeah. And I know that. I definitely wasn't going home. We had all worked out that we would say it was going to be me, but we knew that we needed the idol to go into a swap or a merge. So a lot of us had been like, look, it's a public idol. He wants to use it for the tribe. Like, so that's why I didn't use it for so much of the game, because I'm like, no, I'm working with people. This is no longer, they didn't see it as threatening because I was willing to use it. And I think when they saw me give my immunity to Sam, they were like, you know what, this could work. Like he's done it before, he might do it again. So that's why I thought that I was safe and I didn't use it. So I was definitely blindsided.
Mm-hmm. And then at the swap, what were those new dynamics? Like you have Chrissy, who you say is so close to. What were those like evolving relationships at the new water tribe?
Well, I was really happy to get Sam because I thought that I was working with Mark, which means they're an extension of each other. So when Sam came over to Blue during the swap, that was when I was like, yep, we're on. And then into merge, I thought, I've still got Chrissy, I've got Sam. I thought that I had Mark and the boys as well. Silly me. In hindsight, it would have been probably smarter for me to try and save Ben, because Ben actually really, really wanted to work with me, and he was quite open about that for a really long time. Like to the point where I'm like, great, if you get through this vote, I'm happy to work with you, but right now I've got to be loyal to the people that I've said I'm loyal to. Tomorrow's a different day.
Yeah, and you said on social media, you talked a little bit about the croc vote, kind of knowing what was happening with that, but wanting to stay loyal to Chrissy. Can you talk us through what we didn't see with the croc vote?
So I, in the water, when Croc said Jesse, I basically said, I turned to Mish, we both looked at each other when Croc walked away, and we said, that's not happening, because we were quite close to Jesse at this time. So once I knew about the Croc vote, I knew where the numbers were going. I knew exactly how the votes were going to turn out. So I didn't have to put my vote on Croc. He still would have gone. So instead, I put my vote on Ben because I didn't want to hurt Chrissy because we were so close. I think it would have been worse for her knowing that I put a vote on him even though he didn't really need it. So I thought the Ben vote made more sense just in case there was an idol in place somewhere that I didn't know about and Croc was saved. At least Ben goes and not Jesse.
Mm. Do you know, was anyone else kind of in on all the information you were on? Because it seemed like a really fractured vote. You know, some Ben votes coming out that some people wouldn't know about. Chrissy didn't seem to know that Croc was going, for example. So do you know if anyone else was kind of as in tune as you were that vote?
So Sam, Jesse, myself, we kind of knew both plans. Oh, Mish as well. We knew both plans. We knew exactly what was going to happen, what we thought was going to happen. So that's why I knew that I wasn't in trouble because I was like, okay, there are two plans right now and and people are speaking to me about it. And that's why I decided to step back. I actually said to Jesse, this is the other plan about you. And that's when Jesse and I started to kind of trust each other. He's like, I really appreciate that you just said that, because he thought that I was just going to be like, no, there's nothing going on. I'm like, to be honest, your name is coming up. I'm not voting for you. I'm just letting you know that. I did say to him, I think maybe I should just throw a random vote that would mean nothing. He goes, who you think? I'm like, should I put on Sam because it would be really funny? And he's like, absolutely not. She will kill you. But I literally was going to throw a vote out to Sam just because.
Well, the next episode we see that you give her the necklace and you said that you feel that, you know, maybe on the other side people were raising eyebrows. It was a big move. I love the move. I know that you came out to play hard. I thought it was really creative. What was going through your mind? Just we saw a lot of it vocalized, but just like to make that big move.
So I know a lot of people see it as a big move, but I am so emotionally charged. That's what leads me. During that challenge, Sam was hurting. Like, I could see that she was hurting. She was pushing really hard because she was really scared that it was going to be her. So I am pigheaded. I want to win. I'm very competitive. So I was like, yep, I'm going to stay here, Sam, but if you want to drop out, feel free to, and you will get it, because I just wanted to win. Like, as a fan, I just wanted to win a challenge. You know what I mean? Like, there's like kind of urge to do well on Survivor. I know that it's not very intelligent for your long game, but at the same time, I went on as a super fan. So I wanted to do certain things, and winning a challenge was that for me. So I never second thought it, and had no, like, I wanted to give it to Sam. I wanted her to feel safe, and I didn't feel like I was going. That day, again, Ben, because Ben wanted to work with me, during the day he was actually already telling me that I was going to cut those. So he already told me what the split was going to be, and I totally understood it. And then the other plan, the plan to get rid of Chrissy, I knew what was happening there as well. So even if in the worst-case scenario and it went to a 2-2-2, and I was in on it, I probably wasn't going to play my idol because I trusted in my relationship with Sam, Jesse, and Chrissy. So I had my three votes there. So no matter what happened, there were three, even if we went to a re-vote and I was one of those people, I felt as though Ben was going to go. Like, so the numbers made total sense to me. I felt like I'm safe. I know where this is all going. I trust Sam and I trust Jesse and I trust Chrissy. Either way, there's four of us. There's only two other votes can go anywhere else. It's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously we see when you get voted out of the merge, like the internet has a lot of feelings about the fact that like Sam is made to sacrifice you. Where do you sit with that? Because it was a clash. It was the blood versus water theme at its most difficult, probably. Like, where do you sit with the fact that she had to be a part of that? Didn't tip you off to the idol, everything about that?
Look, I think she could have tipped me off, but I think that then jeopardizes her game. And what you don't see and what people aren't thinking about is that Mark and Sam, they're playing individual, but they're not. They're a singular unit. They are in there as a team. That's what you need to come back to. Who shares a bank account? Who lives together? Because they're the people that are going to be the tightest. So, like, obviously, Josh and Jordan, cousins, but they don't share a bank account. Sam and Mark are going into this as a single unit, and that people need to understand that. It's not in Sam's best interest to tip me off, jeopardize her or Mark's game moving down the line. The best thing that she could have done was exactly what she did. It's a game. She knows how I feel about her. She knows that I was never going to take it like to heart. She knows that it's something that she had to do to further their place in the competition.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of bank account, you won 12% of the prize money in one challenge, the biggest reward I think I've ever seen on any iteration of the show. What are your feelings in that moment? Because I feel like the target you knew was real, but also you won $60,000. So, like, that's nice.
I thought about taking it easy because I knew that a lot of people had their eyes on me as a target because I won the challenge before that. But at the same time, you'd be dumb to not try hard for $60,000. That's a lot of money to any single person. Like, it would be ridiculous of me to be like, I'm not trying this. Like, I've got to give it a go.
Yeah, no, I mean, to throw $60,000, I don't know that a lot of people are in that position. So no, I don't think that I can criticize that. I'm going back to like the idol that you got with Dave. This was a really fun interaction, I felt. Yeah, oh, there it is. It's in, if people can't see in the video chat, it is in the video chat. And you know, there's a lot of spotlight on you in that moment. You've just voted out Brianna. Now you're with Dave. You have this plan with him. You come back, you tell everyone. Big day for you. Talk us through like kind of what you were thinking through all of those interactions.
So I did not want to go to that reward with Dave, mm-hmm. because I was like, nah, there's always something at the reward. And if I was Dave, I would have wanted to be there. But if you're the one being chosen, it's hard because you're not in control of the situation. And I wasn't in control. I got there and I was like, give me something. Give me something to bring back to the tribe. If you don't, you're pretty much cornering me here. Like, there's nothing that I can do pretty much besides be truthful to save my own game. Like, if anyone turned up after a reward like that back to the tribe and told me they got nothing, I wouldn't believe them. So I went through so many different scenarios in my head about what I could do, what I could say. I could say I found a clue. I could say he snatched a clue from me. I just don't think any of it is believable. And at that moment, we were really tight as a tribe. So I thought, you know what? I think I can win some brownie points here by just being like, hey, didn't want it. I've got it. Let's do something about this. Let's work. Let's use this together. Let's use it as a tribe. And that's kind of how a lot of my relationships formed earlier on.
Last question I have for you. If they come calling again, which I think that they might, would you play again?
I'm not ready.
maybe if it's not tomorrow, but if it's in general.
I think it would need to be a little bit further down the line. I'm talking 2-3 years. That was really hard. The game was really, really difficult. Mentally, physically, emotionally, it's all really difficult. Obviously, no one says no to playing again. Like, they're liars if they do. Like, people who go, no, I'm not doing it. You're lying. Anyway, so I'm not going to lie to you and be like, I'm not going to do it. I'll just say that I'm not ready yet.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because that's I think what Amy said as well was she needed some time. So maybe they call you both back, but they give you a couple of years.
I will not be doing another season with my sister. I think that playing with Amy is a hindrance on her game. So if we ever do this, it would definitely be separately. And I would love for her to do it before me as well.
Okay, we'll let them call you both in several years for different seasons. That's right. If production is listening, that's the order that we have. But Khan, thank you so much. I know that everyone's really upset. I already watched your jury villa. Thought it was great. Everyone should check that out. Super, super funny. Already serving some great looks. I'm excited for the jury because at least it's like a long extended fashion parade now. So it couldn't have gone better from that perspective.
100%. Amy had to send me so many clothes. I was like, I'm running out of outfits. You need to get me more clothes ASAP.
I'm really excited for like the top model project runway thing that's happening on the jury while Survivor's getting played. Dual shows. That's what it's all about. I'm excited about it.
Love it.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you so much, Khan. Hope to chat again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's totally fine. Hold on. This dog really wants to say hello to you.
Yeah, for the people who are listening to the podcast version, there is now a dog here. So you can enjoy that in oral form. Amel, yes. I have so many questions. I know that you were a really big fan going out there. And I wanted to know, like, going out there as a fan with your sister, who we know is not as much as a fan, but wanted to take your dream. What was that experience like?
I think being a fan of the show, I was so excited to actually like play my favorite game. I was fully preparing. Like I had bullet points, like, or like, you know, pre-merge, tribe swap, like, you know, just like listing them all. And then I get there with my sister. I can't believe I played it with my sister. Blood versus Water is amazing. What a theme. And then getting on the mat and then seeing like the other 22 just standing there. And I'm just like, oh, here we go. I think I'm going to throw this, like whatever I wrote out, and I'm just going to start new, because you just don't know who you're going to meet out there. You don't know what kind of relationships you're going to make. You just don't know if you can do like a handbook. I don't know. I just don't think you can go unprepared, like go in and learn how to tie knots. You can learn how to fish. You can learn how to make fire, but then in the strategy part of the game, you can have a very gray strategy going in, and that's fine. But if you want bullet points, it's definitely not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk through the game. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see a lot of it. It was like a, you know, kind of historic edit in that way. And, you know, they have to produce a TV show with, you know, a lot of people. So there's different parts to that. But how was your experience in kind of watching that? And obviously the fandom rallied behind you, but I'm sure, you know, there were some difficulties with that.
Oh my goodness. The fans are amazing. I was like, oh my God, they really want to hear my voice. They really want to see me out there. I say more than six words in real life. I think that the edit was like, yeah, obviously you said like there was a lot of loud people, a lot of talking and loud people, like, you know, Sandra was there. The Princess Nina was there. Like big personalities were there that, you know, they had to show them as well, because obviously I know they were getting eliminated before me. So I was like, I'll just wait and see what happens. And I was playing that game where I didn't want to stand out in the beginning, because I think that's a great strategy just to make relationships and just not go with the flow. You can have an influence with the vote, but you just not even flying under the radar, just not even coasting. I don't even know what the word is, but just working cohesively together, but not be seen as a threat. Mm-hmm. And also be an asset in challenges.
Yeah. I mean, what were the relationships that you had that we didn't get to see as much of when you came to the original Water Tribe before the swap?
Yeah.
How did you see the dynamics and who were your really positive connections?
Well, I knew that going into the Water Tribe, I think now day zero, Nina was my first ever person I talked to. Mm-hmm. And we were actually there. I still remember. I just made this like grand thought of like, I'm going to make rope out of this green stuff I found in the river. And I like plaited it with and braided it with Nina. And we were just talking, being like, we didn't catch it on camera, obviously, but we made a pact there that, you know, we'll stick together and we'll have like little chats, and then we'll come and talk in the middle of the night or at the well about like what we're going to do and who we're talking to. That was in the beginning. KJ as well, I talked to in the beginning. She's so lovely. She needed my help as a chiropractor that day. So I think we bonded over that being in the first day as well. So I think, yeah, being a chiro, I helped a lot of people out there that they didn't see and got people together. I mean, I helped Alex a lot. Mm. I loved Alex. Got him through 10 days or something out there being a chiro, which is an asset.
He was lucky to have you with a back injury.
Oh God, I know.
Yeah,
that I'm like, out. Wow. I'm like, this is like a storybook. But later on, I made a really close connection with Mark at the Red Camp. Mm-hmm. Loved him. Loved all his stories. And I think Josh brought it up in one of the episodes that he thought I was hiding behind him. But I was close to Josh at the Blue Tribe as well. So I had all these people around me that I was close to that I could work with. At the Blue Camp, like I think we all worked cohesively as a unit. And while building relationships from there, I feel like no one had like a really tight alliance out there. It was mostly like voting blocks, being like who's like, you know, with the Andy vote, that was a voting block. The Brianna vote was a voting block. Like all of the earlier ones were voting blocks, mm-hmm. Or like a group decision. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then when you get to the new blood, as you've mentioned, you kind of have that like forming relationship with Mark. We see that you are an option earlier on, and we hear Sandra said you had a bit of an injury. Like, how did you see the dynamics and what were the new relationships on that new swap tribe?
So when the tribe swap happened, I thought, great, we've got the numbers. Like OG Blue had the majority there. And I was like, this could be interesting. But then we knew that Sandra was there with her, with Nina. And, you know, Sandra's always a threat. She can just stand there and I'm just like, she's amazing. Like, I don't even, she doesn't even say words. I'm just like, oh, yep, yep. That's like, she has such influence just being there, and having her knowledge there was amazing. And I think the dynamic kind of shifted because I think there was more, like, there were more guys and girls, and Josh and Jordan were back together again. And when I was out there, I know I said that it was a boys' club and everything, but then looking back at it, I'm just like, maybe, I think that these guys just had a lot in common. I don't think it's a gender thing. I just think that they had similar interests, because I remember being, you know, them quoting movie quotes that I had no idea what they're talking about. They had similar movies or like YouTube clips or things like that, or talking about, I don't know, beer and whiskey and stuff. Like, and I'm just like, I don't know. And I was like, I can sort of like join in the conversation, but I know that they have more in common. So I think in that way, I think that's why they bonded more. Don't know whether it's a boys alliance or boys club. I mean, Josh and Jordan played team sport. They played rugby. So maybe that kind of mentality of, I don't know if that's a thing, but I think it's just that they had similar interests and they just all got along, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Sandra. We saw her have a really tight connection with Michelle. And, you know, Michelle says she wants to beat you at her favorite game. I feel like for me, and I've said this because my brother's a huge Super fan too, that would be the way to kill me. Align with Sandra, spend those 2 weeks with her. That's it. I'm done after that.
I was like, oh, my God, my sister gets to hang out with Sandra every day. I hope they become besties. And then when I found out from Sandra that she's like, me and your sister are tight, I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm so jealous. But then I didn't want to be a super fan person and be like, so what was Rupert like? What was poverty like? What was it like with Russell when you threw your, like, how annoying was he? You know, I was just like, you don't want to be that kind of girl. And but, you know, she taught us things out there, like, I don't know whether anyone has told you this, but she cut her hair out there to make as a fishing lure. Don't know whether it worked, but she got the machete and just went on her hair. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Was there any like thing to be done through that swap, even in like saving someone like Sandra? And we see like, you know, the Amy vote come to be, we see you as a target through that. Do you feel like there was kind of any momentum at some point to kind of shift away from the guy thing at any point?
Do you know, I didn't know my name came out that early, because I think, especially with the Sandra vote, I had no idea, because I think when they voted, it was just Sandra. We were just Sandra and then Sandra voted for Dave. I had no idea my name even came up that day. I thought it came out a bit later. So now watching it back, I'm just like, wow, okay. So it was since then. But yeah, I did carry an injury out there. They thought it was a sprained ankle, but actually it's a fractured ankle with a torn ligament. So I did play, and it happened, really early in the game. I think it was day 7, and I played, I left day 28. So, I played 21 days, 3 weeks with a broken ankle out there. So I think people didn't really see that. So I guess if people want to watch back, you can see me in a whole different light with the challenges.
Well, that makes it harder as well, as you're saying, when it's coming from like the athletic guys who have like a rugby team mentality, like to have an injury like that is going to be a difficulty.
Yeah. And like, you know, that will put a target on me. And I knew that if I was in a lot of pain, but then I knew that if I limped or if I tried to act like I was weaker, I would definitely be a target. But obviously I still was, but I try and hide it when I was out there. Like when I was walking to the mat, I make sure that I walked like normally. And during challenges, I still did the challenges. I just, you know, there were certain challenges that I don't excel in, like balance beams.
And when we see it get to the merge, you know, the two parts of the merge I'd love to talk through. Was there any opportunity for you at the Khan vote? Because you actually, you know, vote for Khan and it's being split between you and Khan. He has an idol. Was like, because I, you know, Michelle votes for Shay, so it's kind of even split there between the two of you. Was there anything that you felt could be done there to tip Khan off and kind of create a group there? Because I kind of feel like if there was a moment, that might have been the moment.
Do you know what? I was actually one of the first people that wanted Khan out ever since he got that idol. So I remember talking to the boys about the Khan vote early, when even at the red camp, being like, I don't get what what the blue team are doing. Are they like, is Khan cooking them some magic bean? Like, why is he still there? Like, he's a great strategic threat. And I was just like, and then I remember saying to them, and I think a lot of them have also said like to me, like, if we get to merge, he's first out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I knew that my sister was really close with Khan. So I just had that feeling. So I knew that for that vote, we couldn't say anything to my sister in case she told Khan. So because I knew that she would. And I'm semi-glad that I didn't go home that day and he didn't play his idol, but I didn't realize that I was a swing vote that day either.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember from earlier on, we're just like, we need to get Khan out.
Mm-hmm. And then in the vote where you end up going home and you're like really pushing it on Josh, who did you feel like really wanted to flip? Like, who did you feel you were close with? Because I know it was difficult. They split the vote well, you know, with the women as well. Dave's doing his own thing. Sam's got Mark. Like, it's a hard one.
Yeah.
Who did you feel that you were in a good position with to kind of bring over if you could?
Well, I don't think they showed this in the episode, but I remember, I think at that point in time, I thought I had Michelle, obviously. And I just felt the whole camp dynamic shift because everyone went after in a mini challenge will like obviously all break up and go into groups and talk about it. And it was just Michelle and I, and I was like, I'm definitely at the bottom. But I thought I had a relationship with KJ and Shay, but I thought I could sway KJ for sure. But I haven't been with Christy in a while, and I knew that Christy and Josh were really close. So I didn't think that I could sway her vote, but I would pitch it because it was a logical thing. I did the numbers in my head and I thought I could pull it off. If all six women voted and then the boys left it at their split vote kind of thing, it would have worked. Like, they wouldn't have known, and then Josh would have gone home with the six votes. And then I did the math in my head and I was like, it worst case scenario, they all put votes on me and it's 6-6. But then that was like my Hail Mary. I didn't really think I had many people on my side after that. Josh was definitely running the show at that point. For ages, I could see him kind of not just telling everyone, this is the vote, this is how it's going to be split, this is in case she has an idol, this is why we're doing this. And I saw it happen because I had talks with him in the beginning in Blue. So I know how his mind works. And I knew that he was in charge of all the votes, especially the ones with me involved.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, you did get voted out at the, you know, swap blood tribe. But then you get to this fire-making challenge. It's like this now the start of Australian Survivor. You go up against Ben. It's like a bucket list moment to, you know, and Ben had been like unkillable to that point, you know, several votes and thrown challenges and it wasn't happening. And you came out in fire. So can you just talk us through that moment?
Well, I knew that, I think I heard from people that Ben tended to the fire a lot at camp. I didn't personally play with Ben, so I never saw him at camp, but that's what people have told me that. And I think everyone was worried about me because I think my sister tried to make fire that morning and failed. So they were like, oh, if she's like Michelle, I don't think she's going to make it. So I think going in, I was purely the underdog, but in my mind, I knew how to make fire. I've watched this show 10 million times. I know how this stuff works. And I didn't want to be an embarrassment out there. So I knew going in that the W limb that it was going to be fire. I always just had this feeling. I said, something's going to happen. It's definitely going to be fire. And then I think going in, I was like, I'm confident. I got this. I was super determined. I don't think I've ever looked so serious in my life. And they gave me a new flint. So it was easier to strike it than practicing with old flint. So, and I also think being a chiropractor, because I have to be like really quick with manipulations, I think I'm really quick with the flint. And that's why I probably struck it early. Like, I think it was like 2 seconds and I got fire. So, which is pretty cool. I don't think it's happened very often.
Yeah.
I always think of that. I can't remember. Is it Cook Island? I like when they were doing the fire challenge and Cook they spent over an hour. Yeah, and he spent over an hour, and then Jeff had to hand matches over.
Yeah, and then they
and I was like, I matches. Cannot do that. Yeah. Matches. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely a better showing than Becky and Sandra. We can say that for sure.
Yes.
And you and you beat Ben as well, which was so cool. So it's an amazing moment, Mel. It was great to see you on the show. Looking forward to seeing you on the jury as well through the Jury Village videos. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Shannon.
There you have it, everyone. A lot of insights from our first two members of the jury from week 5 of Australian Survivor Blood versus Water. So, yeah, just a couple of hours until I'll be recapping all of this with Mike Bloom. I'm sure he has a lot of thoughts. I think that will be an unmissable recap if I know Mike Bloom. So hope you guys enjoyed this. Hope that you will enjoy that. Remember to stay subscribed to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. Follow me at Shannon Gates for all the content. Australian Survivor Talking Tribal is already out. So if you want to get already some immediate takes in podcast form, extended podcast form, a lot of rants on the podcast form this week, and then also on 10 Play with James, George, and Haley. So thank you for checking out any of the content that you do, and I will see you with Mike on the recap. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Middle.
Swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million.
Million. Rubli.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.